My dad has worked many jobs in the nonprofit sector. One of them included working with a delivery company. The organization hired men and women who are not otherwise easily able to find work. Almost all of them were on disability payments. The trick was that they had to work as many hours as they could without going over that disability limit. For those who don't know, you continue to receive disability payments while working, but the moment you go over a certain amount, the government logic is that you are able to work and therefore do not receive disability. The amount changes depending on things like age and marital status and where you live, but in every province I have researched, disability payments will put the recipient in poverty. In every province I researched, no matter how many hours you work, the moment you go over that amount, you are still in poverty and now cut off of disability. There was a giant whiteboard, a good 7-foot-long whiteboard in my dad's office, and it had every employee's first name, how many hours they have worked, and the maximum they were allowed to have before they were cut off. At least one man I saw broke down in tears, realizing he could not pay for food and rent that week, though he had been working so hard. You must be shrewd in a city that requires you to work in creative and new ways to escape poverty. 3 years ago, when I was completing my training for ministry, I encountered this reading. I struggled with it. I yelled at it. I threw it against the wall, and then I cheated and I chose a different reading and talked about my life story, and that seemed to do the trick. Indeed, when I talk with many preachers, most of them forget this is from the Gospel according to Luke, because otherwise Luke is pretty easy to understand. Parables about lost sheep, parables about lost coins, about churches flourishing like mustard seeds growing 8 feet tall. We got that. Feed the hungry, visit the prisoner, heal the sick. That is very easy to get. This story is so focused in its own time and place, it is much like us 500 years from now trying to create a sermon out of tweets using hashtags and people not even having computers anymore. This is a very contextualized piece. The readings and lessons of the Torah made it illegal for Jewish believers and practicers to lend goods and property with interest. One way that some landowners got around this was charging more on the principal, much like if you go to a restaurant and they automatically add the tip. They were doing that to 40 and 50%. The problem is that many are peasants. Not everyone can pay everything back. Crops spoil, olive oil goes bad, money gets lost or stolen. People have bad days. The property manager is known for not being accurate and is fired. He knows he does not have options, and so he chooses to look out for himself, telling all who owe the landowner to slash their bill so that they may pay it back. Here's where it gets weird. The landowner commends the manager. Nowadays, there would be a star investigation about fraud in the city. There would be a protest, a petition. But instead, he is commended. This story distinctly lacks lost sheep, is all I'm saying. Luke tries to be helpful. He offers different ways we can see this. Maybe it's about trustworthiness regarding money. Maybe it's about how one can't serve God and wealth at the same time. Maybe it's about honesty or faithfulness. Those aren't wrong, but they're not where I want to go. I don't see this reading today as teaching us that the kingdom of heaven is like a dishonest manager, or a landowner, or a peasant changing their bills so that they may survive. It is Jesus telling us how the world is, and it is unfair. It is unfair that a landowner charge exorbitant prices to people that can't pay it. It is unfair a property manager is fired without anything except a kick out the door. It is unfair that he tells his debtors to commit fraud. It's unfair that they commit fraud. It's unfair that the landowner praises the manager for being dishonest in the first place. Life is unfair. This we already know. The other day, we were at the clothing bank at Wychwood at St. Matthew's United. We were working with roughly 40 people who had requested clothing that morning. Not all had success. We didn't have sizes in the smallest or the tallest of our clients, which meant many were upset because they could not find clothing that fit. Clothing that's too big can be taken care of. Clothing that's too small means uncomfortable summers and dangerous winters. Many were upset that we closed at 12:30 and they had to choose between the food bank that closes at noon or us that close a half hour later, and we are too far away to easily walk. It is unfair. It isn't fair that there are people in one of the richest cities in the richest countries that are unable to get pants their size or must choose between a sturdy jacket and food for that week. And yet, here we are. I think Jesus, after so many parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like, full of love and hope and joy as a balm for our weary souls, reminded them what was at stake. This isn't the kingdom of heaven. This is reality, and reality has paperwork. Two Fridays ago, a few Rosedalians, people who go to Rosedale United, I don't know the official term, so Rosedalians it is. We were at an evening supporting Assyrians going through their plight in the Middle East. Many were seeking sponsorships to other countries as refugees, and so their family members were asking, how does one go through the sponsorship process? I don't think I've ever used the term Kafkaesque in a sermon, but in order to be sponsored as a refugee, essentially you need the Pope and the Queen of England to sign off, you need to win a Nobel Prize, and you must be related to Beyonce. And 6 months later, this process will change again, and if you are in a different location, if someone became 18 over those 6 months, if someone's health has deteriorated, you must start all over. It is too complex for people who are not bureaucrats. It is nonsensical, it is maddening, it is not fair. Jesus is telling us the way the world is, that those with disabilities will be at a disadvantage. Refugees will struggle. Corruption and despair exist. But he does not let this reality have the final word. He tells us we must do two things. help others survive in this world, and prepare for something totally new. The shrewd manager offers us a lesson not in being sneaky, but in recognizing that we must navigate a system that for many is not built for. They must do what's necessary to survive, work multiple jobs, know the right people, make the right phone calls, shake the right hands, or simply refuse to conform in a box that will cut them off or lines that will go over the bits that make them special. We all live in this system, and therefore Jesus is not asking us to throw it out the window, but no, we must work with what we have. Vote. Call your MP. Ask what they're doing for refugees. Ask what they're doing about people on disability so that they do not have to make tough choices between food and rent. Pay our taxes. I'll remind us again in April. Knowing that there will be people that take more than they need, but we're always giving to people that need it more than we can give them. There will be days it's not perfect, there will be days it's not fair, but us, every single one of us, has the chance to make it a little more fair. We build the kingdom brick by brick. We build it mortar by mortar, flag by flag, sharing a cup of tea with those that need it most. Don't stop here as the final resting place for our hopes. Our children are too young. Our elderly are too wise. We are too hopeful to let it end here. The kingdom of heaven is one where disability is not something that relegates you to the margins. People are celebrated as they are. It's one where nonprofits do not have to make tough choices so that people have to choose between food and rent, where everyone find pants in their size and their color and their style, and by God, every woman's pants has pockets that can fit an iPhone. It's a place where racism and sexism end, where homophobia is dashed upon the rocks. There's no thing as anti-Semitism or Islamophobia, and don't even get me started on whether or not people can afford affordable housing. The kingdom of heaven has rooms for us all. We will be able to praise God every day with the blessings that we all have. While life isn't fair, God is fair. God is just. And God has not once asked us to stop working towards the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, it's the only thing God has asked us to do. God is justice incarnate, love unconditional, and knows all of our worth. God is fair. God is just. God be with us all. Amen.